Before we begin, I need to let you know that this entire episode is AI-generated, including the voices you're hearing. Today's show is brought to you by Readwell LED Booklights, our entirely fictional sponsor that makes those perfect clip-on lights for late-night reading. Please remember that some details in our discussion might be inaccurate, so do double-check anything important to you. I'm Sarah, and welcome to Page and Podium. Today, we're diving into Miranda Hart's deeply personal memoir, I Haven't Been Entirely Honest With You, published in 2024. With me is David Chen, literary critic and author of The Comedy of Truth. David, this book caught many readers off guard. It's quite different from what people might expect from Miranda Hart.
Absolutely, Sarah. Most people know Miranda from her comedy work, but this memoir reveals someone grappling with chronic illness, isolation, and profound vulnerability. It's surprisingly raw.
The title itself suggests a confession. What kind of honesty is Hart offering here that she feels she's withheld before?
Central revelation is her experience with chronic fatigue and Lyme disease, which kept her largely housebound for years. She'd maintained a public persona while privately struggling with debilitating illness.
And this isn't just a celebrity health memoir. There's something more complex happening with how she structures the narrative, isn't there?
Exactly. Hart addresses the reader directly throughout, almost like she's having a conversation with a friend. She's simultaneously performing intimacy and genuinely offering it.
The performance aspect is fascinating because comedy has always been her professional tool. How does that background shape this very different kind of storytelling?
She can't entirely shed the comedian's instincts, even when discussing her darkest moments. But that creates this poignant tension, humor as both shield and bridge.
For listeners who haven't read it yet, what kind of journey does Hart take us on? What's the basic arc of the book?
She traces her retreat from public life, the confusion and medical struggles that followed, and slowly finding her way back to some version of herself. But it's not a neat recovery narrative.
The book opens with Hart essentially disappeared from public view. She sets up this mystery of where she's been, what happened to her career, why she vanished.
Right, and she's very deliberate about that framing. She knows readers are curious about her absence, so she uses that curiosity as a way into much deeper territory.
Let's talk about the world she describes. This experience of chronic illness that many readers might not understand. How does she make that world accessible?
She's remarkably specific about the physical reality. The exhaustion that isn't just being tired, the way simple tasks become monumental. She doesn't romanticize or minimize it.
There's this recurring image of her house becoming both sanctuary and prison. Can you talk about how she develops that sense of space?
The domestic space becomes almost a character itself. She describes knowing every creak and shadow, how the outside world starts to feel foreign and overwhelming.
And yet she also writes about the strange intimacy of that confined world, getting to know herself in ways she'd never had to before.
Yes, there's this paradox where isolation forces a kind of self-encounter she'd been avoiding through busyness and performance. The stillness becomes revelatory, even as it's painful.
The medical journey she describes is particularly compelling. She's navigating a healthcare system that often doesn't understand chronic conditions, especially ones that primarily affect women.
She's very careful not to turn this into a screed against doctors, but she does show how exhausting it is to be your own advocate when you can barely function.
The detective work aspect of trying to figure out what's wrong with her body, that becomes almost a subplot.
Exactly. She's gathering clues, consulting different specialists, trying treatments that may or may not help. There's genuine suspense in whether she'll find answers.
How does she structure the narrative? It's not strictly chronological, is it?
She moves back and forth in time, sometimes circling back to re-examine events with new understanding. It mirrors how memory and meaning-making actually work.
There are also these moments where she breaks the fourth wall, acknowledging the artifice of memoir writing itself. She's very aware she's constructing a narrative.
That self-awareness keeps the book from feeling too neat or resolved. She's honest about the limitations of her own perspective and the impossibility of complete truth-telling.
Let's dig into Hart as the central character of her own story. How does she present herself on the page?
She's remarkably unsentimental about her own flaws and limitations. There's no attempt to make herself more heroic or wise than she actually felt in the moment.
She writes about the shame she felt around her illness, the sense that she was failing by not being able to push through. That's such a common but rarely discussed experience.
The internal critic she describes is brutal. She's absorbed all these messages about productivity and worth. And when her body can't comply, she turns that judgment inward.
But she also shows herself learning, slowly, to question those assumptions. There's character development happening even within the constraints of illness.
Yes, and it's not dramatic transformation. It's more like gradual shifts in perspective, small moments of self-compassion breaking through years of harsh self-judgment.
The relationship with her mother features prominently. How does Hart navigate writing about family while they're still alive and might read this?
She's protective but honest. She shows her mother's devotion and care, but also the generational differences in how they understand mental health and vulnerability.
There's a particularly moving section about her mother not fully understanding the invisible nature of chronic illness, but still showing up consistently.
Right, and Hart doesn't demand that her mother understand perfectly. She appreciates the love that's offered, even when it comes with misunderstandings or awkward moments.
The friendships she describes are complex, too. Some people fade away when she becomes less available, while others surprise her with their steadiness.
She's very realistic about how illness tests relationships. Not everyone can handle a friend who can't maintain the old patterns of socializing and reciprocity.
But she doesn't write this with bitterness. She seems to understand that people have their own limitations and fears.
Exactly. There's disappointment, but also recognition that chronic illness is frightening for healthy people, too. It represents possibilities they don't want to contemplate.
The romantic relationships, or lack thereof, become significant, too. She writes about how illness complicates dating and partnership.
She's frank about the loneliness and the practical challenges. How do you explain to someone new that you might need to cancel plans frequently or that intimacy looks different now?
There's this poignant moment where she realizes she's been waiting to get better before she can have a relationship, essentially putting her emotional life on hold.
And the gradual recognition that waiting for perfect health might mean waiting forever. She has to figure out how to live in love within the constraints of chronic illness.
The healthcare workers she encounters become characters too, some dismissive, others genuinely helpful. She shows how much these interactions matter when you're vulnerable.
A kind nurse or a doctor who really listens can become almost heroic figures when you're struggling to be believed and taken seriously.
Now let's explore the deeper themes. What is this book really examining beneath the surface of one person's health crisis?
At its core, it's about the disconnect between public personas and private reality. How much of ourselves do we hide to fit social expectations?
The title suggests this isn't just about Hart's specific deception around her illness. There's something broader about how we all curate our lives for public consumption.
Absolutely. Social media, professional obligations, even casual conversations, we're constantly editing ourselves. And Hart questions what we lose in that process.
The theme of productivity culture runs throughout. She's wrestling with her own internalized beliefs about worth being tied to output and achievement.
She describes the horror of having nothing to show for months or years, as if rest and healing aren't valuable in themselves. It's a profound critique of how we measure human worth.
The body emerges as another central theme. She writes about learning to listen to her body rather than override its signals.
For years, she'd treated her body as something to manage and push through. Illness forces a different relationship. One that requires negotiation and respect for limits.
There's also this exploration of time, how chronic illness changes your relationship to past and future. The present becomes both more important and more difficult.
She can't plan ahead reliably, but she also can't escape the immediate reality of symptoms. It's this strange temporal limbo where normal life planning becomes impossible.
The theme of visibility versus invisibility is crucial too. Chronic illness often doesn't look like what people expect illness to look like.
She writes about the strange position of looking fine while feeling terrible and how that discrepancy makes others uncomfortable. People want illness to be obvious and temporary.
The shame theme goes deep. She's examining not just personal shame, but cultural shame around weakness, neediness, and imperfection.
Right. And she connects this to broader questions about how we treat vulnerability in society. What messages do we send about who deserves care and support?
Identity becomes fluid in interesting ways. When you can't do the things that defined you professionally, who are you?
She has to separate Miranda Hart, the performer, from Miranda, the person, and figure out what remains when the performance becomes impossible to maintain.
The spiritual themes are subtle but present. She's not religious in a traditional sense, but there's something almost mystical about learning to accept what you can't control.
There's definitely a surrender happening that goes beyond just accepting illness. It's about releasing the illusion of complete control over our lives and circumstances.
Community and isolation is another major theme. She explores what real support looks like versus performative concern.
The difference between people who ask, "How are you?" and actually want an honest answer versus those who expect fine regardless of reality.
The theme of honesty itself is complex. She's not just advocating for brutal truth-telling, but for more nuanced, compassionate honesty.
Exactly. Sometimes kindness requires strategic editing, but the kind of dishonesty that isolates us from genuine connection ultimately serves no one.
How does she explore the relationship between humor and pain? That seems central to understanding her as both a comedian and someone in chronic distress.
She shows how humor can be both authentic response and defensive mechanism. The same impulse that makes her funny also sometimes prevents her from being fully present to her own experience.
There's this recurring motif of masks and performance that goes beyond just her professional comedy work.
We all perform wellness, competence, and happiness to some degree. Her illness just makes those performances more obviously unsustainable.
The medical establishment becomes almost a character representing larger systemic issues. How does she handle that without becoming preachy?
She keeps it personal and specific. Rather than making broad pronouncements, she shows particular interactions and lets readers draw their own conclusions about systemic problems.
Now let's examine Hart's craft as a writer. This is her first major memoir. How does she handle the technical challenges of the form?
She has a naturally conversational voice that translates well to the page. The writing feels like she's talking directly to you, which creates immediate intimacy.
The structure is interesting. She doesn't follow a strict chronology, but instead moves thematically, circling back to deepen our understanding of key events.
Mirrors how we actually think about our lives. Not in neat timelines, but in clusters of meaning and association. A current experience reminds us of something from years ago.
Her use of direct address to the reader is constant, but never feels gimmicky. How does she pull that off?
She varies the tone and purpose. Sometimes she's confiding, sometimes explaining, sometimes checking in. It feels like natural conversation rather than a sustained performance.
The pacing is carefully managed, too. She knows when to slow down for the difficult moments and when to lighten the mood before things become too heavy.
Her comedy background serves her well here. She understands rhythm and timing, how to build tension and provide relief. Those skills transfer to emotional storytelling.
How does she handle the challenge of writing about experiences that were, by definition, low energy and often repetitive?
She finds the small variations and internal dramas within apparent monotony. A slightly better day becomes significant. A new symptom creates genuine suspense.
The dialogue in her interactions with doctors and family feels authentic. She seems to have a good ear for how people actually speak.
She doesn't try to make everyone sound perfectly articulate or wise. People say awkward things, misunderstand each other, and struggle to communicate about difficult topics.
Her descriptions of physical sensations are particularly skillful. Chronic fatigue and pain are hard to convey to people who haven't experienced them.
She uses concrete metaphors and comparisons that make abstract experiences tangible. The exhaustion that feels like gravity has tripled. The brain fog, like thinking through cotton.
What about her handling of time? The book covers several years, but some periods get much more attention than others.
She focuses on moments of change or realization, rather than trying to document everything chronologically. Some months get a paragraph, while a single conversation gets pages.
The emotional honesty is striking, but she also maintains boundaries. How does she decide what to include and what to keep private?
She seems guided by what serves the larger story and might help readers rather than confessing everything. The honesty feels purposeful rather than exhibitionistic.
Her use of humor is precise, never undermining the seriousness of what she's describing, but providing necessary relief and humanity.
She can find genuinely funny moments in grim circumstances without minimizing the difficulty. It's humor that includes the reader rather than deflecting them.
The book's voice evolves as you read it. The Miranda at the beginning feels different from the one reflecting on her experience by the end.
Yes. And she's honest about that evolution happening in real time as she writes. The act of writing the memoir becomes part of her processing and healing.
She handles potentially self-pitying material without falling into that trap. What keeps the tone from becoming wallowing?
Her curiosity about her own experience and genuine concern for readers going through similar struggles. She's investigating rather than just complaining.
The ending avoids false resolution while still providing some sense of closure. How does she manage that balance?
She's honest that recovery isn't complete or permanent, but she shows real changes in perspective and coping. The growth is internal rather than circumstantial.
Let's place this book in context. How does it fit into contemporary memoir writing, particularly around illness and celebrity?
It's part of a growing movement of public figures being more honest about mental health and chronic conditions. But it avoids the inspiration porn trap that some celebrity memoirs fall into.
The timing is significant too. Published in 2024, it speaks to conversations we're having post-pandemic about rest, productivity, and what really matters.
Absolutely. Many people experience their own versions of isolation and reconsidering priorities. Hart's experience resonates beyond just chronic illness sufferers.
How does it compare to other comedian memoirs? There's usually an expectation that these will be primarily humorous.
She subverts those expectations while still honoring her comedic identity. It's funnier than most illness memoirs, but more serious than most comedy books.
The British context seems important too. The specific healthcare system, cultural attitudes toward complaining and stoicism.
Definitely. She's writing against a cultural background that values carrying on and not making a fuss. Her honesty about struggle feels particularly brave in that context.
How has the book been received? Has it found the audience Hart was hoping for?
It's resonated strongly with people dealing with chronic conditions who felt seen and validated. But it's also reached beyond that specific community.
The conversation around invisible disabilities has grown significantly in recent years. How does Hart's book contribute to that dialogue?
She adds a high-profile voice to discussions that have mostly happened in smaller communities. Her platform amplifies messages that advocacy groups have been sharing for years.
What influence might this have on other celebrities or public figures who are dealing with similar issues privately?
It potentially creates permission for more honest conversation about the gap between public success and private struggle. That could be genuinely helpful for both public figures and their audiences.
In terms of literary merit, how do we evaluate a memoir like this? What are the criteria for success?
Quality of writing, honesty of self-examination, and usefulness to readers facing similar challenges. Hart succeeds on all three counts, even if this isn't primarily a literary exercise.
The book seems likely to have a lasting impact beyond just its immediate readership. What kind of shelf life do you see for it?
It captures something specific about this historical moment while addressing universal experiences of illness and isolation. That combination often creates durability.
As we wrap up, let's give our honest assessment. What works brilliantly in this book and what doesn't quite succeed?
The emotional honesty and conversational voice are extraordinary. Where it occasionally stumbles is in the transitions between time periods, which can feel abrupt.
I agree about the voice. It's incredibly engaging and authentic. The medical detective story aspect also provides genuine narrative drive that keeps you turning pages.
Sometimes the direct address to readers becomes slightly repetitive, and there are moments where the structure feels loose. But these are minor complaints about a genuinely moving book.
What will stay with readers long after they finish? What's the lasting impact?
The permission to be honest about struggle without shame, and the recognition that productivity isn't the measure of human worth. Those are profound shifts in thinking for many people.
Who should read this book? Obviously, people dealing with chronic illness, but who else would benefit?
Anyone who's ever felt pressure to perform wellness or competence they don't actually feel, which is probably most of us at some point in our lives.
And anyone who loves someone with chronic illness or invisible disability. Hart offers crucial insight into experiences that are hard to understand from the outside.
Ultimately, it's a book about learning to live with uncertainty and limitation while maintaining hope and connection. Those are pretty universal human challenges.
David Chen, thank you for this thoughtful conversation about Miranda Hart's I Haven't Been Entirely Honest With You. For Page and Podium, I'm Sarah. Thanks for listening.